Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Center for Innovation here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yes, indeed. You know, a lot of people are suddenly very interested in gas mileage.
Yeah, of course everyone is now.
And how you might improve yours. And actually, we have an article about that on our website right now. But I don't know how we missed this. We somehow neglected to include the brilliant suggestion made by a guy named David Hensley. He writes the following.
Can't wait. We miss a lot of things, obviously. So
you can't be on top of everything. The pressure that's on us and the amount of work that we have to do.
The amount of work that we do.
Dear Click and Clack, I put my brain to work trying to solve the gasoline shortage problem. I remembered when we were trying to conserve water, and it was suggested that we put a brick in our toilet tank. Remember that?
Of course.
Well, how about we put a brick in the gas tank? Huh? Is this guy thinking or what?
He's on top of it, man.
He says, wait, I know you're going to say a brick won't fit in the gas tank, but we could manufacture bricks shaped like hot dogs that would work wonderfully. Just fit right in that little space
where the... Of course.
All you got to do is make it smaller than the nozzle of the gas.
Right. Yeah, the gas pump. Yeah, sure.
And that's it. He said we can...
Oh, we can call them briquettes.
Briquettes. And he goes further. He says, not only can we do that, we could even come up with some kind of pyramid marketing scheme.
Well, if you put enough of these in there,
sure,
you can fill your tank with, like, 2 gallons of gas.
2 gallons of gas.
Jeez. What's wrong with us?
What's wrong with us? I mean, someone comes up with a brilliant idea like this, and it's not even his own idea. We use it for toilets. Why won't it work for gas tanks? Of course it will.
Right. I'm trying to figure out how showering with a friend could help the gas crisis. I don't know.
Well,
anyway,
driving with a friend would work.
Yes, indeed. Look, if you have a brilliant idea for us or anything, a question, criticism, you name it, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jenny calling from Durham, North Carolina.
How are you, Jenny?
Good. How are you doing?
Oh, not bad. Not bad.
Well, I'm calling because I'm hoping that you can maybe help with a dispute between me and my fiancé.
Fiancé?
Yes.
Whoa! How long have you been affianced?
I've been affianced about 3 months, and I plan to be affianced for about another year before I'm actually married.
Yeah. What is an appropriate time?
What is an appropriate time?
How long have you been going out with him?
About almost 2 years.
2 plus 3, another one will be 3 in a little bit.
Yeah, but I've known him for much longer than that.
See that? Now, I've been taking heat from my wife for all the years we've been married because I knew her and didn't marry her until 4 years later.
Ooh.
She thinks that 4 years is an unconscionable number. She thinks I was dragging my feet.
Well,
that I was.
To be honest, I mean, my brother is quite a bit older than his wife, and she wanted to marry him while he still had a few earning years left. Come on.
And I told
her. You want to marry the guy when he's just about to get his Social Security checks?
Plus, I had to wait until she turned 18.
That too.
She never mentions that.
No. Well, her parents sort of signed for it.
All right, Jenny, I'm sorry to change the subject here, but I get...
Not at all.
I get carried away. Yeah, what's the story with you and him?
Okay, well, the story is that when my car is very low on gas, like when it's way down in the red, and I go to start the car, when I turn the key, it doesn't immediately turn over. It kind of goes, you know, before it actually starts. But when the gas tank is full, when I turn the key, it engages immediately.
Uh-huh.
And I just happened to, you know, mention this to my fiancé, and he said, that's ridiculous. There's no connection between the amount of gas in the tank and the starter. That's electrical. That has nothing to do with the fuel. And I said, you know, I have no actual facts to back this up.
You just have observation.
Exactly. Anecdotal information.
Anecdotal information.
What kind of Japanese car do you have?
Ah, Honda Civic.
You all right?
Very good.
Have a gulp of water, will you? Drink some water. You'll be all right.
This is serious.
So you have a Honda Civic, and you've noticed that it takes long. You have to crank it longer when the tank is closer to empty.
Exactly.
Yeah. What does he do for a living?
He's in finance. I can tell.
Well, nope. You'll actually like this because he's a graduate student who studies something even more obscure than art history, even less marketable.
Oh, archaeology.
No.
What?
Bryology. He studies moss.
It's called bryology?
Bryology.
B-R-Y?
B-R-Y, exactly.
Study of moths?
Moss. Bryophytes. Moss.
Moth.
That's what he studies.
No,
oh, moss.
Moss. M-O-S-S.
Oh, yes. Oh, I thought it was moth.
Yeah,
oh,
it's like that
moss.
Stuff that's growing in your car.
In my car.
Exactly.
Bryology.
Bryology.
And what... Never mind. I mean, what...
No, I was just curious. I mean, what are the future opportunities in this field?
I'm curious about that myself.
Yeah.
Do you have a good job?
I do. I'm a nurse.
Oh, that's good. So you'll be able to eat at least.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'll have control over our future car buying.
So this budding bryologist...
Yes.
Graduate.
Actually, it's good because people just confuse you with being a biologist.
I'm into biology, yeah. If you say it fast enough, you can fake them
marine
out.
Marine biology.
Marine biology. man. Well, the answer is that you were right.
Excellent.
Well, you could be right.
You could be right.
It could be completely bogus. But we could make a case that you're right.
No, I mean, bear in mind that this is most noticeable, I'm sure, when the car has sat overnight.
Yes, definitely. First thing in the morning.
Yeah, because what happens is the rest pressure in the system, the maintained pressure in the fuel line between the pump and the engine will eventually drop to zero because there's a check valve in there, but it can't hold the pressure indefinitely. And over a long period of time, like overnight, the pressure in the line will drop to zero, and the pump must now pump the pressure up to get it to the injectors so they can squirt fuel into the engine.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you can visualize the thing, right? You got a big, long pipe, and during the day, after you've been starting the car on and off and on and off, when you turn the key to start it, that whole pipe is full and pressurized and ready to fly.
Right.
So the
bang.
Second you turn that key, boom, it starts. But if you emptied out the pipe a little bit, then every time you turn the key, you'd have to first fill up the pipe and then go through the bing.
And a full tank would help fill up the pipe faster because you'd be using what's called the head pressure of the full gas tank to push the fuel down the line by means of gravity, in addition to what the pump is doing.
So you could well be right in your observation.
I think I am.
Well,
I
think
right.
You are, too.
I think you are, too. And even if you're not right... We just made a very powerful argument for you being right, and that's all that matters. The question now is, do you tell him, and how do you tell him?
Oh, I know exactly. I'm definitely telling him.
Then I'm not going to ask.
And we'll leave that to you.
We actually have a little wager riding on
Oh,
this.
Do we?
We do. So right now I think he owes me a dinner at the Cattleman Steakhouse. So
how are you going to break it to him? I mean, give us the specifics, if you don't mind.
Well, let's see. I think I'm probably going to call him. He'll answer the phone, and I'll say,
Jenny, you have a mean streak. You have a mean streak.
You can tell, hey, bryology this, pal.
Well, we wish you all the best.
Good
Thank
luck,
you
Jay.
Very much.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bryology. I like yours, marine biology. that sort of confuses it just
it
enough.
It clouds it just enough.
Just enough.
Nobody really asks.
Yeah.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's
like George Costanza. Hey, he was a marine biologist, too.
888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is Kobe from Portland, Oregon.
Kobe. Yeah. Wait a minute now. K-O-B-I.
No.
K.
C-O-B-E-Y.
Close.
C-O-B-Y.
You got it.
C-O-B-Y. Kobe.
Yep.
That's an interesting name.
Is it short for...
Short for Jacob.
Oh.
Jacoby. Oh, well, very good.
Yeah, see, my dad was Jake, and so he had the first half, so they figured they'd give me the second half.
I like it.
But they added a Y on so it wouldn't seem so blunt like Cobb, you know.
Cobb, right.
Yeah. Cobb would have been all right, too.
Well.
And where are you from?
Portland, Oregon.
Portland. I'm sorry. Okay, got it.
And, yeah, it's great to talk to you. I've been a mechanic for 23 years and finally got out of it.
Good for you.
How did you do it?
Well, I'm a sculptor now. I make critters out of car parts.
Ah, you make critters out of car parts. I'm trying to visualize that.
Well,
like, give me an example. All muffler systems, of course.
No, mostly stuff massive enough I can do with my MIG welder. So, like, I've got an exhaust manifold that's upended so that the arms look like a ghost raising its arms above its head.
Oh, man, I love it.
Oh, yeah, I do, too.
Yeah, a tranny shaft with all those neat little grooves on it. I've got eyes on that and some railroad spike legs. So like a lizard thing.
So are you making more money as a sculptor than you did as an automobile mechanic?
No.
Are you making
almost nothing as a sculptor, but it's starting to get better.
Hasn't caught on yet, so to speak.
It's just on the verge of it, and I have started my own art movement.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I have to give you credit. I mean, every time you extracted one of these parts from a car, you saw hidden in it some beauty.
Yes.
We just throw the things in the trash.
And, you know, I had to stop working on cars because it was like, you know, you tell your boss, but I can't change it. Look, I'd be tearing off its little leg.
Yeah, that pretty much sealed it for you, I guess.
Yeah,
and was there a lot of whispering going on in the shop? Colby is really losing
it. You know, too much carburetor cleaner or something.
Well, that's what happens. So anyway, why did you call us anyway?
Well, I called you about to get advice on my truck, Betsy.
Yeah.
Betsy the Wonder Truck. I bought her when I was 17, and I'm 43 now. Never owned anything else.
Really?
Yep.
What is it?
66 Chevy half-ton pickup.
Wow.
And the deal is I've had different evolutions of camper shells on her for all this time. And the latest one about 5 years ago was Big John, a friend of mine who was a machinist and a real welder, and me got together, and we both kind of believe in overbuilding. So I ended up having, as far as I know, the only 4-ton, half-ton pickup around.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah. So a year ago, I was out with my parents on the coast and hit some frost heaves going into a parking lot a little fast and threw the back end up in the air enough to raise the big toolbox about 2.5 feet, my mom said, because
wow.
She was sitting next to it.
Yeah.
And
and the bed of the pickup truck?
Yes. Well, in the back of the pickup truck's camper shell with all these cushions and everything.
Oh, she's sitting back there trying to knit.
Yes.
And you're taking these speed bumps at 45 miles an hour. I got it. Okay.
Yeah, like that. So anyway, my next oil change, I'm under there, and I'm looking around, and I noticed that I've got cracks in the frame.
Duh.
So, you know, I've got this MIG welder because I'm a sculptor.
Yeah.
And I've got all this cool iron around.
Yeah, you're all set.
So I've put patches on all of crack.
Yeah, so this is like a patchwork quilt.
Yeah. I've been checking it for a year, and the cracks have not spread. But, you know, as a mechanic, you know, you grow up learning as a mechanic that if the frame cracks, you're done.
Yeah.
And you're insane to drive a thing with a cracked frame. So I've got a little voice in the back of my head saying, well, you know, you're crazy. But the other thing is, well, you know, I've patched them, and I check them every month or so, and they're not spreading, so.
Yeah, well, I don't think there's any reason to be too worried, to tell you the truth.
Huh.
Although, yeah, that sounds good, doesn't it? Although, who am I?
Yeah, come ride around in the truck with me.
Oh, no. But how long ago did you do this?
About a year.
So every month or so you've been checking and the cracks have not spread.
Right, because I've got the plates welded to either side of the crack. So
yeah.
It's almost like either the welds would have to fail or the plate would have to start cracking, it would seem to me.
Well, I think you probably have fixed it correctly. And in
cool.
fact, that's generally the remedy for things like this.
Great.
So you probably are all right, except it doesn't preclude it cracking someplace else without warning.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that you always have to take into account when you have a vehicle that's 113 years old like yours.
Right.
And
355,555.5 last week.
Really? And now, but then you added this monster cap on it and all that, so you've gone way beyond the capacity, the intended capacity of the thing too. And that's, I'm more worried about that than anything else.
Okay.
So it may be time to look for a replacement for Betsy. I know that.
Oh man, you're asking a lot.
Yeah, you're asking.
I would say leisurely. Have your eye out. Like, go to the movies and check out check out what's out there.
I'll do it. And I love your show, and I'll send you a critter.
All righty.
Oh, great.
A deal.
All right.
Thanks,
take
care.
Hey.
Bye-bye. All right, Tommy, I'm not going to ask you if you remember last week's puzzle.
Good.
Instead, I'm going to ask you a much easier question.
Yeah.
Compare and contrast the economic policies of King George III and King Louis XV,
mm-hmm.
paying special attention to physiocracy as a reaction to 17th century mercantilism.
Does it have to be in pen or pencil?
Start working on it. We'll be back in a minute.
Oncoming traffic racing round the bend, crossing the line again and again. What's coming around this hairpin curve? Do I have the room to swerve? I'm awake at the wheel. I'm a survivor. I only know about the other drive. Oncoming traffic spinning out of the night. I'm hypnotized by all of the lights. Up from behind, I know when to yield, I'm a survivor. Gotta watch out for the other drive. I don't know if I'm a believer. Guess I'll just have to wait and see. Just got swiped by an 18-wheeler. Another inch would have been the end of me.
And even though the NPR landscaper takes a long, hard look at his wood chipper whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like if your cable box broke and you can't watch anything other than C-SPAN.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and
some famous last words. We've discussed this before, but these are some new ones.
Really? I can't wait.
Famous last words. I mean, well, the one we discussed the other day was you could be trailer trash if any one of your friends died and his last words were, "Hey guys, watch this." Well, yeah, there's a few more like that. What does this button do? Famous last words. That's probably just a rash. How about this one? I wonder where the mother bear is. No, these are the good kind of mushrooms. Yeah, I'll do this one. I'll hold it, you light the fuse. How about this one? Nice doggy. That's odd. Boom. And then, of course, watch this. That's it. Famous line, that's good. Yeah.
Well, look, if you thought that was lame, wait till you hear what's coming up in the third half of today's show, or better yet, you send us something decent. If you've got something my brother, you know, can use.
I'm hungry for mail.
Oh,
I'm hungry for
starving.
It. Yeah.
Thirsting. Just send your readables to him at Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or, of course, you can email him stuff from cartalk.com.
Yeah, please send me something.
Ready for a call?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
If you have a question about your car, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255, Lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Dennis from Santa Rosa, California.
How many N's?
Two N's.
Two?
Santa Rosa. There's only one end of the Santa Rosa. Santa Rosa. Haven't been there, but is it nice?
It's nice. I'm looking at my wife's roses at the moment. It's north of San Francisco.
Yeah, we know where. We just don't know what. Yeah. So what's up, Dennis?
What I have is a sort of an automotive mystery. It's not so much a problem. I have a 1978 Toyota Land Cruiser. And the other evening, I was camping, and I left my radio on most of the evening and ran the battery down. In the morning, I managed to snag a jump start, and I didn't really want to go for a drive to charge it up. And I remembered something an engineer friend of mine told me once. To make the battery charge faster, he said, turn on all your accessories, turn on your lights, your heater blower, your wipers, everything.
An engineer told you this.
An engineer.
He doesn't work for NASA, does he?
No, he works for a battery company.
In any case, this is an old vehicle, and it has the needle-style ammeter or whatever.
Yeah.
And with the engine idling, I brought the idle up a little bit with the choke, and it was showing on the charge side.
So it was on the plus side, and then?
Then I pulled on the heater blower full blast. And it went way over to the plus side. Bingo, I'm thinking, hey, what he said works. And then I tried the lights. The lights had the opposite effect. The lights took it back down to just barely plus. So I'm wondering, what is there? Is there something to this theory?
Well, we have to be careful here, because this is a wacko theory. And there have been other wacko theories that we have poo-pooed, and we have subsequently found out they were correct. For example, the business of on a bitterly cold day, which you don't know about in Santa Rosa, and your battery is really low, and you want to start your car, before you try to start it, someone said, you turn on the headlights. The headlights draw a little bit of current, and the theory was that if you get the battery started, give it the idea that you're going to be asking for more. Rather than asking for more all at once, you have a far higher likelihood of starting the vehicle, to which we said, oh, stop it! It works. We have plenty of evidence from dozens of people that it works. Well, we have evidence all over the world that it works. Alaska.
Fine. Fine. So, I don't buy it.
Well, this guy, your engineer friend, is crazy.
No, well, he isn't crazy. Here's what's happening. The ammeter is telling you as you turn accessories on that the alternator is producing more electricity, okay? Because as the regulator sees the demand for electricity increase, it allows more electricity to be created by the alternator. However,
you're using it up.
Exactly. You're not charging the battery with that. You're using it to run the headlights, the wipers, the heater blower. So while it is making more electricity, it's questionable whether any of that is getting to the battery. And I would suspect that at idle speed or slightly above idle speed, you're actually running the battery down.
It's analogous to this. You run out of water in the radiator, and someone says, here's what you do.
Poke a hole in it.
Poke a hole in the radiator while you're pouring water in the top.
It'll hold more.
Well, you'll be able to add more.
You certainly will be able to add more, but it sure isn't going to make it fill up any faster. So I think your engineer friend in this case is completely wacko. He probably went to MIT where they never saw anything. They only saw the equations that described the thing. And that's my position, and I'm sticking with it.
Yeah, and I'm morally opposed to the other theory, too, about the tickling the electrons.
Tickling the electrons.
I mean, come on.
No, it doesn't make sense. Turning stuff on is just sucking electricity away from the battery.
And the reason your battery charged up adequately is it wasn't very dead to begin with. It was barely dead. But yeah. You need to get one of those booster things.
Booster?
It looks like a booster pack. It has like jumper cables, but they're only about a foot long. And what this thing is a battery that you charge up at home with 110 volts. And you throw it in the back of your Land Cruiser. And it has two jumper cables that you hook up to a dead battery, and ba-boom, you start right up.
That's what I need, because I do tend to listen to Sylvia Poggioli on Into the Night sometimes.
That'll put you right to sleep.
Sylvia Poggioli.
See you, Dennis.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call. Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255.
I'm just wondering, if it's this easy to convince people of completely ridiculous things, how many things have we been crazily
imposing on people?
No. I mean, how many things have we believed that are completely not so? We would believe anything.
Well, you know,
we happen to know a little bit about how the charging system works, and so we know that this is crazy. But if someone comes and tells you, you know, when you turn your TV set on, you got to make sure that you're on channel 17. Otherwise, the diodes won't last long.
The Zener diodes.
Want to be on channel 17. And you'd say, oh, huh?
Well, there has to be that element of doubt in there. A little bit of the unknown.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if someone said to you, look, you know, if you want to get your car started every morning, you've got to fill the thing up with the garden hose. You'd say, no. But if there's something that sounds a little mysterious and has just a little hint of a possibility, say, could be.
Or can't hoit.
Can't hoit. Yeah, I mean, this Dennis was perfectly willing to believe, and we may yet find out that we're wrong.
We may.
Some hotshot electrical engineer is going to write to us and say, well, on that particular vehicle,
don't you guys know about
Kirchhoff's? That had a double feedback rectifier aged in the keg.
It's not a simple AC circuit. It's good. And the Frank Kirchhoff, you know him, don't you? And
so we may yet find out that, but that's why you can pull stuff over on people, because you have to have a little bit of mystery in there.
My wife makes up theories about everything. Everything she says, I say, really?
You go for it.
I go for every one of them.
There's a sucker board every day. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Linda from Kotzebue, Alaska.
Linda.
Another wacko from Alaska. How you doing, Linda?
I'm doing good.
Where in Alaska? Way up or all way down?
Way up. Kotzebue is about 30 miles north of the Arctic Circle.
North of the Arctic.
You know, I can't even conceive of that. 30 miles.
So what frozen fish facility are you working at?
I can't believe. I mean, and get this. She wasn't born there. She went there of her own free will.
Otters are born.
Of my own volition.
Of your own free will, you went to Achapachi there, Alaska.
Okefenokee, Alaska, yeah.
Well, you know, it's not as bad as people might say.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful place.
Right.
No, I'll bet it's not.
No, I mean,
it's worse. I can't even conceive. This is the classic two seasons, you know, like July 15th and winter.
But we'll give you the benefit of the doubt, and we'll give you an opportunity to extol the virtues of Okefenokee, Alaska, wherever it is that you live. But how can we help you in the meantime?
Well, here's my question. I have a team of 9 sled dogs, and they need to get exercise in the summer as well as the winter. Winter part is easy, but in the summer, we have to hook them up to something with wheels and have them run up and down the few roads that we have around here to get a little exercise.
So really? You want some kind of a vehicle on wheels that they can pull around?
We have a vehicle, and what I want to know is how best we should use this. It's a brand-new all-terrain vehicle. It's a Honda with four-wheel drive manual transmission, and we'll hook the dogs up to the front of this and have them pull it down the road with us sitting on the back. We were debating on whether we should leave it in neutral and have the dogs pull it. However, we think we might wear our brakes out really fast, holding the dogs back or trying to slow them down or stop them. Or should we leave it in gear and let them pull it? Woof. Or would that be bad for the transmission?
That would be bad for the dogs. I mean, how big is this thing?
It's an ATV. It's, you know,
it's a little thing.
It's one of those things you drive in the woods, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
And you're wondering if you could leave it, if you could put it in, see, if you put it in gear.
No, you don't want to do that.
The engine's going to turn over.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'd want you to do that.
I don't want to do that.
Because I think you're going to wreck the engine.
Okay.
Here's what I like better.
Plus, I mean, it's going to be tough. I guess the problem is this thing is too easy to pull for these nine dogs.
Yeah, we need to be able to slow them down. Or for training purposes, too, we need them to work a little harder.
Well, this thing is too small. I mean, what does this thing weigh? It can't even weigh 1,000 pounds.
I don't know how much it weighs, but yeah, I think it's under 1,000.
Well, I think that's the problem. It's too light, and you need ballast.
Yeah.
And what the best ballast I can come up with is...
more dogs.
No, put nine dogs in the front, two in the back.
That's pulling the other way. That's it. We'll do a tug of war with them.
The cement blocks.
Yeah,
you're
going to sit in this thing, right, while they pull?
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
And you're going to say mush, mush.
Yeah.
Hike.
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 All so right. wait, let's go back. Can we go back a step?
Yeah, I want to go back two steps.
Okay.
How'd you get there? Where are you really from?
Well, I grew up in Illinois, but I've been working for the National Park Service for a lot of years, and we park rangers like to travel around, and Alaska's a pretty exciting place to come to. It's sort of like being in the Peace Corps up here, so we thought this would be an interesting place to go.
So there are other people up there besides just you. Is that true?
Yes, there's actually 3,000 people in this town.
And how many dogs?
Oh.
Sounds like it's about 10-to-1 ratio.
Yeah.
30,000 dogs. Well, that's why they call it the Calcan Highway. I mean, I would use the brakes, and then if you really have to slow the thing down, like on a downhill, I would put it in gear. Now, you don't have to put it in first. You can put it in high gear.
Right.
Well, whatever gear seems to maintain the right speed so you don't run over the dogs. I mean, that would be
okay.
Important.
But, I mean,
I'm not worried about the engine. Is it under warranty?
Yeah, it's brand new.
You should read the book to find out if there are any prohibitions about such. I mean, what's the chance that they're going to have something in there
about pulling
being
it with
pulled
the dogs.
By sled dogs? I think you got a pretty good chance of being able to do it without damaging the thing.
Okay, so you suggest using the brakes mostly, but if I really need a lot of help, then to go ahead and put it in gear and use the gears.
Yeah, because the brakes are easy to replace. And, I mean, my first choice would be cement blocks.
Yeah, that would be the best and easiest thing to do. Just make the thing heavier.
Yeah.
Or you could rig something up that would drag on the ground.
Exactly.
You know, like some kind of a stick that you could use to dig into the ground that would slow you down enough, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you need like a blade, you know.
It would be nice if you could make this useful.
Right, well, like a blade that you'd use on a road grader.
Yeah.
So maybe we could grade the road.
You could make new roads, right?
All right.
You say, where do you want the road? And that's where you take the dog.
And the amount of cut that you take with the blade will determine how slow the vehicle is. I would try to fashion. Don't forget, you got plenty of time.
Well, we have to be good at making up things from scratch and a lot of jerry-rigging up here in this faraway place. So I think we can probably fashion a road grader.
You can do it, Linda.
Yep.
See ya.
Thanks for your help.
Good luck.
Have
good
fun.
Luck. Good luck.
Bye. Anytime. Bye-bye.
Wow.
Well, she sounds like a lot of fun.
You know, all the people we've talked to from Alaska who we think are wackos all sound like they're having a
lot
of
fun. Well, don't
forget,
there's hardly anyone there that doesn't want to be there.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Yeah.
They're there because they want to be there, and that's where they want to be, and that's it. And they seem to be pretty happy about it.
I mean, most of us stay where we are because we feel that we have to.
And we don't know how to get out of here.
And we can't escape, right. Our wives won't let us.
Yeah. And they're not driving to work getting stuck in traffic every day.
No. So there's something to be said for that.
And you don't have a horn on a dog sled, so you can't hear rap, rap, and all that craziness that we hear in the city. I think I might be considering this. I love the cold.
Okay, Tommy, look, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll tell you what to do if you find yourself in desperate need of a puzzler this summer.
Yeah, go seek psychiatric help right away.
Well, after that. We'll be back in a minute.
Well, I want one black and beautiful and looking like it should. Want to see that golden eagle out there on my own. Trans Am. I want my own Trans Am. Ride around while I still can.
as they used to be, and they use up a lot of gas. There's so much more traffic now that I've just got to pass. Trans Am, I want my own Trans Am. Ride around while I still can in that damn Trans Am.
And even though the NPR elocution coach sobs into her chamomile tea whenever she hears us say it, this really is NPR.
We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and a little bit of frustrated verse.
Yeah, this note comes from Sue Combs, who writes, I found this poem written 50-plus years ago by my dad, and I thought you'd get a kick out of it. Here it is. Sue's dad was Thomas Anthony Green of Philadelphia and New Orleans, and he wrote this poem called Tom Green's Auto. The Ford is my auto. I shall not want another. It maketh me to lie down beneath it. It soureth my soul. It leadeth me into the paths of ridicule for its name's sake. Yea, though I ride through the valley, I am towed up the hills. Thy rods and thy engine discomfort me. I anoint my tires with patches. My radiator runneth over. I repair blowouts in the presence of my enemies. Surely, if this thing followeth me all the days of my life, I shall dwell in the bug house forever.
Eat your heart out, Emily Dickinson.
You ain't kidding.
Pretty good. Hey, by the way, the Puzzler is on summer vacation.
Yeah.
But if you miss the Puzzler...
I miss it every chance I get.
I know that you do, but if other people genuinely miss the Puzzler, you know, whenever we don't have a new Puzzler on the show, we always post one from our archives on our website, cartalk.com. So you can always find the Puzzler there. In the meantime, if you have a car question, you can call us and puzzle us right now at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Yes, this is Gene calling from Lubbock, Texas.
Gene.
As in Eugene?
Yeah, short for Eugene.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a 1991 Mercedes 350 SDL, which is the big sedan with a
turbo diesel.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a noise emanating from the right rear part of the car. Whenever the engine is running, it's sort of a click-clock sound every 5 seconds.
Whenever the engine is running, even if you're not moving?
Yes, engine is running. It doesn't matter if you're going fast or slow or standing still, but the engine has to be running.
Yeah.
And this has been going on for a number of months. Everything seems to work in the car.
Give us the description again of what the sound is.
Well, it's hard to put it in words, but I call it a click clock. My wife says blink, blink, or something like that.
Okay, I like it.
I think of in terms of a solenoid cutting on and off.
Exactly what I was thinking, too.
And it's that regular that it has a timing to it?
Yes, it's just about every 5 seconds. Now, recently, it's gotten more urgent. It's gone to a single clunk louder and about every 3 seconds. And the sound seems to be emanating from behind the right rear seat and in front of the trunk. And there's nothing there that I know of, and apparently there's nothing there that the mechanic knows about either that could be making noise.
Well,
but it sure is doing it.
The fuel pump is there.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. they want diesels.
Do we have to give the disclaimer? All right, Gene.
Yes.
We know absolutely nothing about this car. We've never even seen one.
Oh.
But we're going to, just to show how brilliant we are.
We're going to come up with an answer anyway.
All right, do that.
We're going to figure it out.
You're going to have to give us a minute.
Okay.
Yeah. Doug, run out and get the book. Well, here's a wild guess for you.
Okay.
This is a diesel engine car,
yeah.
and as such has an injector pump that is run by the engine, that's under the hood.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it probably has a feed pump.
Of course it would.
That runs from the tank to the injector pump.
Could be.
How does that sound, Gene? Does that sound good?
That's sure. A possibility.
And your mechanic, is it a Mercedes dealership?
Not here anymore. They closed it down a couple of years ago.
Okay. So
he
you went
used to
a
be the he used to be the number one mechanic, and he set up his own shop. So he's good at
it. Oh, so he's the guy.
Yeah.
I suspect the noise is emanating from the fuel tank.
That's what I think, too. And especially since you describe it as a solenoid kind of noise.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm surprised it didn't occur to him, though. Because if we don't know that there's another pump back there, he certainly does.
Well, I'll pursue that idea.
But it's something like that. It's a pump or a solenoid or something in the fuel or emission system that's making it. It isn't a mechanical thing because there's nothing mechanical back there.
But then who knows what, you know, the car, these Mercedes cars have all kinds of fancy little doodads.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be that one of the doodads has something going on back there. What would we know?
We wouldn't. And what would we care?
Well, we care only because Gene is a nice guy.
Yeah.
Sure. Well,
he's a gentleman.
Back at it.
And he's a very nice person, I can tell.
I'm a former Yankee, Illinois.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, you are.
So you're retired to Texas?
I'm retired, yes, I am.
Mm-hmm. You retired to Lubbock.
I was the office manager for the local Mack truck distributor.
Oh, hence
the affinity for diesels.
Yeah.
Thank you. That may be it.
Yeah, it must have been the fumes that got you.
Hey, Gene, thanks for calling. And good. If you find out, give us a call.
Okay.
We're always willing to learn.
You have a great show, and I enjoy listening to you.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wait a minute. He was a Yankee from Illinois?
Well, I mean, compared
compared to Lubbock.
Right. In fact, people
from
Amarillo.
Kentucky.
Yankees.
Yeah. Hey, do you happen to know what time it is?
Time to roll our clocks back 4 weeks to summer savings time?
No. It's time to play Stump the Chumps. This is that part of the show where we revisit a previous caller to see if our advice was jaded, faded,
or underrated. So who's our lucky caller this
week? I don't
have
any idea, but we have notes. The note says it's Bob from Fort Worth, Texas. And do you remember Bob's tale of woe? Neither do I.
Does it involve cattle trailers and beehive hairdos?
No, but you're very close, I think. It involves flies and horses.
Oh, yeah.
Bob went to horse shows, and every time he got back in his truck, it would be filled with huge flies, and the poor guy, he had to drive around with a can of Raid in the cup holder. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But someone suggested that I set off a bug bomb at night, but I'm concerned
about your health.
Well, no. I mean, put it in the car.
Yeah, I know, but I don't think you want to get into a car that's just been sprayed with deadly poison.
Well, I'm concerned.
You might as well
about...
throw Agent Orange in there. I mean, come on.
I'm concerned more about the bug juice getting in the electronics of the car and messing up the car.
The electronics? What about your lungs, man? Oh, you're re-smoking those Arturo Fuentes, so you don't care about your lungs.
I don't care about my lungs.
I don't think you should worry about your lungs either. In a few years, you'll be able to buy a lung.
You were rather cavalier about that.
Well, we ended up disagreeing on this, I think.
Right. I think you took the environmentally incorrect position and you said, bomb them into next Tuesday.
Bomb those little boogers.
For which, I might add, we got deluged with calls and emails saying that your brother is nuts.
Ah, a bunch of sissies.
I said, no way. I thought it was crazy to set off a bug bomb in the car, cover the seats in fly paper instead. So we disagreed.
So it's possible that one of us is going to be right and one of us is going to be wrong.
Yeah, which is better than we usually do since we're usually both wrong. Bob, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, Bob, before we find out whether the flies are history or you are, we need to make sure that the answer you're about to give has not been influenced by our staff, the staff of National Public Radio, or the Better Living Through Pesticides Foundation. Is that correct?
Well, it's correct, but hope springs eternal, and I run to the mailbox every day looking for the bride.
You didn't get one. All right, whose advice did you follow?
Was I right about the bomb, and do you still have any hair?
Well, let me tell you what happened. My wife went to the grocery store, and I asked her to bring back a bug bomb. When she brought it back, it scared me to death. All the warning labels, all the chemicals. And I never had a product in my hand that had so many pictures of skulls and crossbones.
Yeah.
I said, this is not going to work. So I thought about it and thought about it, and I realized that when the weather gets cold here, which is not often and not for long, we don't have flies. So I have a friend who is in the ice business, the commercial ice business.
Oh,
so I took my car, and drove it to his warehouse. He manufactures these ice cubes that they put in the 10-pound bags that you buy at convenience stores.
And yeah. You just drove right into the freezer.
I put it into the freezing storage facility, not the freezing where the machinery is.
Yeah.
But where they store the ice. I rolled the windows down, left it there for 3 days. Goodbye, flies. No more problems.
That's it.
Wow, boy.
Wow, what a brilliant man you
we
are.
We should have called you.
Man, it's safe. It's a lot safer than the bug bomb.
So now what are you going to do with the bomb now that you have it?
Well,
I'm just curious.
I don't like my next door neighbor, so I'm going to
do it. Hey, Bob, you're a good sport. Thanks for playing Stump the Chumps.
Thanks, guys.
See you later.
Bye.
That was very clever. All right, if you hear someone on the show that you'd like us to bring back on Stump the Chumps, please email us your suggestion from cartalk.com.
Or if you just can't wait, you want to stump us right now, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 8-882-278-25. Oh, I like, how about 5 squared 5?
Oh,
hello, you're on CAR-TALK.
5 squared 5, yeah.
Hi, this is Louise in Havertown, Pennsylvania.
Where town?
Havertown, Pennsylvania.
Havertown?
Haver, H-A-V-E-R.
That's right.
Like Havertown.
Yeah, well, you guys would say Havertown.
Why wouldn't you?
Well, I don't know.
Because she lives there and she knows it's pronounced Haver.
Havertown, right? We're right outside of Philadelphia.
I thought that was Philadelphia.
Philadelphia? I don't know.
What's up, Louise?
But anyway, I have an 89 old Cutlass Sierra, okay?
Yeah.
And, well, we want to hold on to it a little more, but every time we put the brake on, we hear a loud clunk.
Oh.
Now, I have had it to three different mechanics, and they all assure me that nothing is wrong with it. When we put the brake on, the clunk is in the comes through on the door side of the passenger, and sometimes I can even feel something moving under there. But everyone tells me there's nothing wrong with it.
Well, first
of all, does a clunk? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I mean, of course something's wrong with it.
Well, that's how I feel.
Well, you're absolutely right.
I mean, I'm.
And the next guy that says to you there's nothing wrong with it, tell him he's a moron.
They say they can hear it. They agree it's there.
Yeah. Well.
And the only thing that I, you know, we had to have a new fender put on. Not long. This has been going on for almost a year.
Really?
And the last fella, it was like a month ago, he said that every one of the bolts to the fender, they were all loose, about to come off. So he fixed those. You know, I keep thinking, well, maybe they left something in there and there's something, you know, clunking.
Oh, did this noise begin after they did the fender?
Yes.
Yeah. How serious was the accident? I mean, they had to replace the fender. Did they replace other stuff?
No, a fellow was gone by. I was parked, and he did a job on the fender. He had one of those high trucks, and he wasn't looking where he was going.
And are the guys who are telling you that there's nothing wrong the same guys who did the fender?
No, I went to a brake shop.
Ah, that's your mistake. Ah. Louise. Good God, Louise. You went to a brake shop?
$400.
By what right did you go to a brake shop? Who the hell are you to go to a brake shop?
Well, I put my foot on the brake.
Yeah, but see, you diagnosed the problem already in advance. That's why you're in so much trouble here.
I see.
And I'm here to help you, Louise.
Okay,
I'll be going out for coffee.
No, see, when you... I realized that it happened when you stepped on the brake.
Yes.
But you then concluded that the noise had to do with the brake. You went to a brake guy. It's like you got a pain in your stomach. You go to a stomach guy.
Right.
And the stomach guy doesn't know what's wrong because actually it's a back problem that's causing your stomach to hurt. And the stomach guy says, there's nothing wrong with your stomach because it's your back.
Right.
Yeah, so you got to go to a general practitioner first to find out what kind of specialist you have to go to.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I suspect you have a bad control arm bushing someplace.
Out of the tens of thousands of pieces of a car,
you went
right to a control arm bushing.
I mean, I knew it wasn't like the speedometer or the volume knob on the radio. I knew it wasn't either of those.
Limited those right away.
Yeah, I knocked those right out of the picture. And my vast experience suggests that it's something akin to that.
Uh-huh.
But it's probably something in the front suspension
okay.
that's causing the noise. But I wouldn't go to a suspension specialist. Like Tommy says, You want to go to someone who covers all the disciplines.
Someone who doesn't have preconceived notions. You know?
Right. And someone whose scope isn't limited.
Yeah.
Okay.
And someone who's open-minded and say, look, I have a noise, and it occurs when I step on the brake, but I don't think it's the brake.
Don't even say that. Just say, I have no idea about nothing. You tell me where the noise is coming from.
And it always helps to say, I want to fix it no matter what it costs. The few customers that we have, still,
right.
who take that position are treated very well.
The steering wheel was very loose. Would that give you any?
See, Louise, you know more than you think.
Yeah, you could have a loose rack and pinion mount.
You could have a bad tie rod end.
Yeah, take it. You know, I'm going to suggest you take it to the dealer,
and I
bet you they're going to figure it out in 10 minutes.
Oh, well, that would be great.
But get it fixed because it has the potential to be dangerous.
It does have the potential to be dangerous. And all joking aside,
yes.
I wouldn't mess around. Take it tomorrow.
All right.
And certainly between now and then, don't drive fast.
Oh, we're supposed to leave for New York City tonight. No.
Don't. I would not take the car.
Take the train.
Really?
Anything
I know your husband. I know your husband's going to convince you. Tell him you'll meet him there. Take the train.
Yeah, and buy the insurance policy on him.
See you, Louise.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk.
Yeah.
You too.
Me too.
Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blucher. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati, and our interns are Emily Mackey and Ariel Niedermeyer. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the North Pole, chili bowl, Kaiser roll, escarole, filet of sole, roasted foal, cod braised whole, hot spring roll, donut hole, lump of coal, calorie goal, eaten roll is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our cruise director is Eaton Doolittle. Our Eastern European copy editor is Caps Lock Spell Check. Our driving instructor from the Punjabi Driving School is Prasanna Petal. Our TSA screener is Pat Matukas. Our director of disaster preparedness is Evan Stabetsi. Our motorcycle crash tester is Natalie Vermark. Our oatmeal chef is Grace Ludge. Tommy's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luz Cruz. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the dumb pedestrians with smartphones in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappan Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1130, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week on the web, an advanced class in killing time.
That's right. We know that the internet has only one real purpose. Well, two, but we're not going to talk about the other one. The main purpose of the web for us is to help you kill time at work.
Right. We're at your service.
That's why Car Talk's Facebook page is particularly active during regular business hours.
So make this week an unproductive one.
Yeah, wander over to Facebook this week and spend a little time at the Car Talk page.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Terry Gross reconsiders that offer to host Wild Kingdom whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.